Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Final hour of the Kenny and JT Show on this Friday, taking you up to the AltCare Stadium Show live here at Paul Brown Tiger Stadium. You want football? We are your home for football. High school football tonight and tomorrow night on WHBC. Buckeyes tomorrow afternoon on WHBC. Sunday, the Browns at 1 o'clock on WHBC. And let's go to the Wake 'em Way hotline right now to break down that game more with our good buddy Scotty Petrak, Browns beat reporter, brownzone.com. Scotty, thanks for joining us. I want to get to the mood of the team right from the get-go based on what Baker Mayfield said earlier in the week. 4-2 feels like 0-6. So has the mood gotten better throughout the week from what you've been able to tell?
Yeah, it's interesting, Kenny. You know, that remark kind of took me by surprise, and I don't think it fits with, you know, Kevin Stefanski's 1-0, we treat every week the same. But I do think that loss against the Steelers is so kind of humbling and shocking that it did have, you know, kind of an impact. I don't think it lingered throughout the whole week. We talked to Myles Garrett today, and he said, you know, 4-2 is 4-2. You know, it's one loss. We're going to see the Steelers and the Ravens again. So, you know, I think the best case scenario for the Browns, and probably what's true, is that as the week went on, they were able to put it behind them. But I think it did leave an impact early in the week with just how bad it was and kind of how shocking it was, because I think the Browns expected to play much better in Pittsburgh.
And also, Scotty, am I accurate in saying when the quarterback says it, it carries a little bit more weight and gets more pub?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, safe to say for sure, Kenny. And, you know, and I think it was interesting because it's Baker, and maybe it feels like 0-6 for Baker because he played so poorly. And because, yeah, you know, the criticism is kind of pointed at him mostly. You know, I mean, there's some at the O-line and some at maybe Kevin Stefanski's play calling. But for the most part, it's Baker, and he's the one getting killed on ESPN. So, you know, he says the building, maybe it's just how he feels. And he kind of feels like everything's directed at him.
So, Scotty, what's hurting him more right now, his ribs or his bruised ego?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question, and I would say the ego. You know, we watch him practice, and somebody had a video yesterday, and he throws a pass, and he kind of grabs the chest. And I'm watching him today throw the ball, and you see a little bit of that, but I don't think it affects the actual throws. I think it's more on how he feels after he lets the ball go. So I guess if you're going to be in pain, that's a better time because the ball still comes out with zip. So I think this is something he can play through. Obviously, it's not my chest and my ribs, but, you know, I thought he threw it fine last week. That wasn't the issue. The issue was bad decisions, not seeing the field, not feeling comfortable in the pocket. So that's what he has to get over. And then when you mention his ego, you know, this just has stuck with me, Kenny. We talked to Baker before this season, and he mentioned how his confidence took a hit last year and how he doubted himself. And that's so unlike the Baker you saw at Oklahoma, the Baker you saw as a rookie, that now anytime something goes bad, I kind of wonder, okay, is it affecting him? Is it not affecting him? You know, and he said the he's able to get past the Steelers one, but what else is he going to say? I think it bears watching to see where Baker's confidence level is, because he's not the same quarterback when he doesn't have that swagger.
Scotty Petrak is our guest via the Wake 'em Way Hotline, Browns beat reporter for brownzone.com. Follow him at Scott Petrak. All right, let's turn our attention. You talked about Baker's ribs, okay? So he's practicing this week, which you would hope helps him more in the game, and he's able to play. What about Jarvis Landry's rib? It's broken, Scotty. And looking back over the last couple of games and that, there were a couple of drops by Jarvis. Do we look at that and say, well, that's uncharacteristic of him, had to do something with the broken rib?
I think it's worth considering. I thought the first drop against the Colts was just a lack of concentration. It's like he turned upfield too quick. I didn't think it was the ribs necessarily. The second one, I think maybe he heard some footsteps, didn't want to get hit, tried to get out of the way, And that's something that I think human nature, you would do that when you're trying to protect a broken rib. So yeah. I think it is worth connecting those dots or at least paying attention to. But I know that Jarvis is as tough as they come. I know that he's going to play through this. He hasn't missed a game yet in 6+ years. You just have to watch him on Sundays to make sure he doesn't take one more big hit, right? Because that's a scary injury. And I know they pad him up and they try to protect him, but you can only do so much. And as a receiver, obviously, he's going to be vulnerable.
All right, what about the other receiver during his meeting with you this week and all the reporters? Interesting comments from Odell Beckham Jr. that the coronavirus respects him. That's good to know. Somebody does. And also, Scotty, and tell me if I misheard this or not. The reason he took his spikes off and was in his stockings or his socks, whatever you want to call them, last week is he's dealing with some sort of turf toe and didn't want to keep his foot jammed in the cleats. Is that accurate?
It is. Now, he took his cleats off because he had been yanked from the game by the coaching staff because the game was out of hand. They weren't playing Baker. They said, Odell, you sit down. They also took Miles out of the game just because they didn't want to risk injury when the game was already decided. So he was frustrated by the fact that he wasn't playing. He was frustrated by the fact that they're getting their butts kicked. And he said, hey, if I'm not playing, I'm going to get my sore toe out of these cleats. So, OBJ is OBJ. And, I go back and forth on him because I know he rubs plenty of people the wrong way. And he's a polarizing guy. And I get it. And he says crazy stuff and weird stuff. And he talks about himself a lot. But I'm kind of at the point with OBJ where I don't think he means any harm by what he says. Even the corona thing, like I completely disagree with this corona take, right? I think we should treat it with the utmost seriousness, and I think it's ludicrous to think that the disease has a respect for OBJ. However, I don't think he meant anything by it. I think that's just how he thinks. He tries to do mind over matter. He did report the symptoms, which is the right thing to do, and the Browns sent him home, and it protected everyone else. So I'm just kind of at a point with OBJ where you listen to it, you go, okay, that's just OBJ being OBJ, and even take it into the frustration on the sideline. Like, I think he's trying to do the right thing by rallying the troops and saying, hey, we're not playing with enough energy. And then it seems to go a step far when he slams his helmet to the ground and he's standing there without his shoes on. But I just think that's all the OBJ package, and the Browns knew that they were getting, and you just kind of have to live with it.
Hey, check this out, Scotty. I was at Marshall's the other day. I was looking for a dog toy for my golden retriever, Frankie. And so I'm looking at all these dog toys, and they had this rack, like a discounted rack, right, of just a bunch of clothes and stuff. And I actually bought a pair for, I think it was $2.99, regularly $20, $2.99, Odell Beckham Jr. socks. So that way I can be like him during the games on Sunday. I can wear the socks that have his face on it from when he was with the Giants. Or if I don't wear them, I may give them away on the air the next time he's walking around in his bare feet. The only one who I think understood that, Scotty, was Romeo Crennel from when he let, Braden Edwards walking around in his bare feet when he was the head coach, right?
And Kenny, that ran through my mind too because I think I was writing something or talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago, and I was kind of contrasting – Stefanski to the previous coaches, right? I wrote it, and it was, Shurmur. I remember Shurmur's first game, the Bengals. The Browns defense didn't get out of the huddle, and they give up a losing touchdown. And, Freddie had a million things, but, one of them was not giving the ball to Nick Chubb inside the five or whatever. I mean, you can kind of go through your list of the coaches and their biggest mistakes. In the Romeo one, and I don't think I wrote it, but it flashed through my mind, was you won't see Kevin Stefanski's players walking around without shoes on. And then a week later, we see Odell on the sideline with no shoes on.
I love that pizza. Romeo's back at it as a head coach of the Texans. Kudos to him. He's still doing it, Scotty. Scotty Petrak,
our guest. I know,
there
should be 2-0 under him.
I know, right? Good for him. Scotty Petrak, our guest via the Wake'em Way Hotline, talking Browns with you. All right, the news came out today, though. One of the security blankets, if you will, for Baker Mayfield won't be there as Austin Hooper will miss the game with an appendectomy. What's the latest on that, and how long could he be out?
Yeah, it caught everybody by surprise. He practiced fully Wednesday and Thursday, and we go out there today and don't see him, and obviously that raises a red flag. We take attendance and he's not there. It's a loss. He's had 5 catches in 5 straight games. starting to find a rhythm in the offense. He's a legitimate quality blocker that helps that run game. The Browns rely on their tight ends to block. So it's a loss, especially against a Cincinnati team that if you watch how in their loss to Indianapolis a week ago, the Colts tight ends killed the Bengals. So I was looking for Hooper and Harrison Bryant and Njoku to have a big game on Sunday in Cincinnati, and now it'll be tougher to do. Not saying Njoku and Bryant can't have success, but, you know, the Browns are paying Hooper $10.5 million a year because they think he's better than those guys. So it is a loss. They're not rushing to put him on IR, so they think he can be back within the next couple of weeks. I don't know if it's too soon to think he might be able to play a week from Sunday against the Raiders. I think there's a question mark there, but then the Browns have a bye. So I think at the latest, he'll be back the game after the bye.
Scotty, what about the defensive secondary? Who are they getting back this week to help that awful secondary of the Browns?
Well, Ronnie Harrison's back for sure. He got cleared from concussion protocol Wednesday. He's practiced fully all week. Carl Joseph, who also plays strong safety, the two of them play strong safety, practiced in a limited capacity the last couple of days, I think all week. He's questionable. The Browns say they want to, they might try him, kind of try him out before the game Sunday to see if he can go. So I think they're going to start Harrison and then kind of use Joseph as maybe that third safety, maybe rotate those guys in and out. But I think you'll see a bunch of Harrison, and I'm fine with that. He played well. He had the pick six against the Colts. He started a bunch of games in Jacksonville. I think there's a ceiling there that you want to explore because he's a young guy. So they get him back, and that's a bonus. You know, you're still playing Andrew Sandejo every snap at free safety. You still don't have Greedy Williams back. In this Bengals offense, you know, the Bengals are whatever, 1-4-1, but they throw it around, and they have three or four quality receivers. So all the cornerbacks in this, and anybody's playing in that secondary, including every safety, is going to be tested because the Bengals will go three wide all day long, and they'll even go 4 and 5 wide.
Scotty, on the defensive line, are they healthy? Is everybody a go this Sunday for the Browns?
Yeah, everybody's going to play. They didn't even list Richardson as questionable or anything. He missed yesterday with an Achilles. I think it was just sore, maybe got stepped on at practice. So he might not be 100%, but they should be good. And I think Vernon's getting healthier and healthier. Ogunjobi's getting healthier and healthier. And they should have a big edge, right? I thought they might have an edge against that Steelers O-line, especially with DeCastro not playing. But the game got out of hand so quickly that they weren't able to, you know, take advantage of that matchup. But against the Bengals, who we know are going to throw the ball a ton, who don't have Joe Mixon, so they have to throw the ball even more, you should see Myles Garrett and Olivier Vernon and Ogunjobi and Richardson. They should really feast against this O-line. In last game, we saw them get pressure on Burrow, but he, you know, he threw a bunch of short passes. He didn't throw any interceptions. He threw the ball 61 times with no interceptions. If he throws it 45 times Sunday, which I think he very well might, you have to get turnovers. Right, they got the one strip sack last time, but you have to get strip sacks and or interceptions because this defense isn't good enough to win without takeaways. And we saw that. They didn't get any against Pittsburgh, and they gave up a bunch of points, and the game got out of hand. But if they can get two takeaways against Cincinnati, I think the odds go heavily in the Browns' favor.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you 100% on that, Scotty. So we'll see if the defense can do what it did prior to the Pittsburgh game. One more guy I forgot to ask about on offense, Wyatt Teller. Is he a definite no-go this Sunday?
Yeah, he's out. So it'll be Chris Hubbard again. Yeah.
Chris Hubbard in. Okay. What did Kevin Stefanski say about the offensive line play? He took the blame for the play calling and not putting Baker in the right position maybe to succeed last week or getting hit too much. Let's just call it what it was. Yeah, the play calling wasn't good. Baker wasn't good. But that offensive line was terrible last week. What did Stefanski say about the line?
Yeah, we talked to him, Kenny. We talked to O-line coach Bill Callahan today. I've been asking Conklin and Treader and Betonio all week about this. Part of it was the one-on-ones. They just got beat, right? We saw, and I hate to single out Chris Hubbard too much because he's never really played guard. And he's in a tough spot, and he's got a Cam Hayward matchup. But he struggled, right? So Cam Hubbard struggled. I thought Conklin struggled against T.J. Watt. On the huge hit where Cam Hayward leveled Baker and Dupree had his feet or had his legs, you know, it was Wills and Betonio had both those guys, and they run a stunt, which leaves Dupree free, and Betonio doesn't make the switch. And then Betonio doesn't block Hayward long enough, so Hayward lights up Baker. So I think you can point to all five guys having letdowns and breakdowns that hurt. And then from a scheme-wise, the Steelers just make it tough on those the teams that like to do the wide zone and like to do the bootleg because they rush those two outside linebackers so hard and so fast up the field. You just can't bootleg against them. So I don't think the Browns, from a coaching perspective, adjusted quickly enough. And when they did, they were already too far behind and they had to throw the ball. And we know Baker struggles in the pocket as opposed to outside the pocket. So I think it was a perfect storm, but I wouldn't expect the line to struggle like that again, especially against Cincinnati. But I just think in general, they're better than that. And their poor game matched up with the Steelers' probably best game of the season.
What about that? The way the Steelers attacked the Browns. Don't you think more teams that are going to be playing the Browns are going to see that and realize if we keep Baker in the pocket, he's going to struggle?
I do. I think, here's the thing. I think some schemes naturally do that better. And unfortunately, the Steelers are one of them, and I think the Ravens have that flexibility too, where they kind of have the three big interior linemen, and then they have a couple of outside, you know, pass rushers, linebacker slash end hybrids. So the two toughest matchups in your division are kind of built to do that. I think when you play a normal 4-3 team, like the Colts or like the Bengals, they can't do it as well just because they're not kind of built to do that. Right. But we've seen 4-3 teams try to keep Baker in two, and then it's up to number one, it's up to Baker to figure out a way to have success from the pocket, right? It shouldn't be impossible. Quarterbacks get paid to make throws out of the pocket. And I don't care if Baker's only 6 foot, 5/8 of an inch. Drew Brees is shorter than him. And Brees lives in the pocket, right? You don't have to get outside all the time. So Baker's got to grow in that area, and he needs to take that responsibility. And then the next part of that is, all right, the coaches have to adapt. And if teams are going so wide to prevent you from rolling Baker out, then it leaves gaps in the run game. And then you exploit them until they tighten up. Then you do quick throws over the middle to your tight ends to take advantage of the soft spots. And I think this coaching staff is smart enough to do that. I just think they never really had a chance because they got behind Pittsburgh so much, and then they were limited in what they could call.
All right, two more things I'll let you go. Scotty Petrek, our guest, brownzone.com, fabulous website for Browns fans. Check it out. Keep up the fantastic work there, Scotty. Baker Mayfield, the abuse he's taking nationally, more so than locally, I think. There's some, okay, locally, but there's more nationally, right? I saw his wife, Emily, responded on Instagram. You know it's bad when the wife responds on social media, right? So is this fair? Is this warranted? Or is this unfair for Baker? Because we did a poll earlier in the week. Is Baker the guy 100%? Is he not the guy 100%? Or is it too early? And 66% of the people said too early, but also 23% said he's not the guy. So that gives you 86% where there's a question mark about him. So is it fair or unfair?
I think it's fair for media to criticize. You know, I mean, he's an NFL quarterback, he's number one pick. You give him whatever you got. I think some of the criticism, and, you know, I keep going back to ESPN because that's, they were visible and vocal about, you know, Stephen A. Smith, Odell, and Jarvis demand trade. I don't think that's
right.
And I don't think it's fair to make a judgment on Baker 6 games into a third season with his third head coach and his, or fourth if you count Greg Williams, and a brand new system, right? And I think sometimes you get caught up in, man, he was terrible against the Steelers. And we forget that he is new in the system, and there wasn't a normal preseason, and there wasn't a normal offseason. All those things we talked about leading up to it tend to get, you know, you lose that when he throws a dumb interception. So
right.
I think overall it's unfair. I don't know if it's unfair. I think it's premature to give up on Baker. And I wrote something like that this week. Now, he has not given you any reason over the last 6 games, but basically the opener in the Steelers game, to say, yeah, I believe he's going to turn a corner. And, yes, I believe he's going to be a franchise quarterback. Now, you can go back to what he did at Oklahoma. You can go back to what he did as a rookie and say, yes, we've seen him throw accurately. We've seen the arm strength. We've seen the competitiveness. We think he's smart enough, all those things. But if you just break it down the last few weeks, you go, no, he's not really giving you any reason to believe. But I still think it's way too early, and I don't like making a judgment on a young quarterback back like that on a week-to-week basis. I think you need to have a bigger picture view, and I think this year is huge for him. I just don't think you should get caught up in, okay, he had a bad week or two. That means Baker can't be the guy.
Mike, two things on that, Scotty. 4-13 against teams with 500 or better record. He's beaten the Ravens twice. So I guess if you want to say where's his signature win, there it is. But I'm waiting for that wow moment from him and haven't got it. So there's that. And the other thing is, how much of a factor do you think the contract is weighing on his mind, where that fifth-year option that the Browns can pick up or decline is in the neighborhood on, what, $20, $25 million?
Yeah.
So how much is that weighing on his mind?
Yeah, that's a great point, Kenny. I don't think it should be, right? He should have other things on his mind, and you're only in the third year, and that's kind of down the road. Nothing can happen with the contract until after the season. But right. I don't think that's human nature, and especially because when we talked to Baker – at some point, I don't know if it was June or whenever we talked to him, he brought that up, how the third year is so important because of the contract situation.
Yep.
So
well,
obviously
I remember.
It's on his mind.
Yeah.
It's just the reality of the situation. Now, the Browns don't have to make a decisive, you know, it's not a final decision, but that's one of the stepping stones. By May, they have to decide if they're going to pick up this fifth-year option. Now, they can find an extension. They can work out a different kind of extension with them, but there is some kind of referendum coming in the next, whatever, 8-9 months about Baker's future. And it would be so much easier for the Browns if the guy played well, led him to the playoffs, and you said, all right, we have the franchise quarterback. But right now, even if he leads him to the playoffs, I'm not sure those things are necessarily connected, right? This team could win 10 games without a signature win because the schedule's that easy. And you could get to the end and go, I still don't know if Baker's the guy. And then Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are going to have some difficult decisions to make.
Yeah, and two things. They didn't draft him, number one.
Yep.
And number two, some people feel they're winning in spite of him, and they could do that with that weak schedule. Scotty, great stuff as always. I appreciate the time. Keep up the fantastic work. We'll talk to you again next week. Enjoy the game on Sunday, all right?
Thanks, Kenny. Take care, bud.